Let's take our Bibles at this time and turn to 1 Peter, chapters 1 and 2. First, the first epistle of Peter, the forgiven and full of hope and inspired Apostle Peter. It's amazing how God used Peter and his own personality to write God's own word and to start out his epistle after the greetings with great praise and that doxology that's on people's hearts who know the word of God. Blessed be the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ. And it goes on for verses in chapter 1, verse 3 and following. But our text, which is in chapter 2, really is part of that stream of exhortation that flows from the fount of God's mercy and praise. And so I want us to read what we're going to read here, beginning at verse 13, in light of the praise that precedes that. 1 Peter 1:13. Therefore, gird up the loins of your mind, be sober, rest your hope fully upon the grace that's to be brought to you at the revelation of Jesus Christ. As obedient children, not conforming yourselves to the former lusts, as in your ignorance, but as he who has called you is holy, you also be holy in all your conduct. Because it's written, be holy, for I am holy. And if you call on the Father, who without partiality judges according to each one's work, conduct yourselves throughout the time of your stay here in fear, knowing that you were not redeemed with corruptible things like silver or gold from your aimless conduct received by tradition from your fathers, but with the precious blood of Christ, as of a lamb without blemish and without spot. He indeed was foreordained before the foundation of the world, but was manifest in these last times for you, who through him believe in God, who raised him from the dead and gave him glory, so that your faith and hope are in God. Since you have purified your souls in obeying the truth through the Spirit, in sincere love of the brethren, love one another fervently with a pure heart, having been born again, not of corruptible seed, but incorruptible through the word of God, which lives and abides forever, because, and he's quoting Isaiah 40 here, all flesh is as grass, and all the glory of man as the flower of the grass. The grass withers, and its flower falls away, but the word of the Lord endures forever. Now this is the word which by the gospel was preached to you. There's an amazing implied connection between the gospel word and Peter's word, New Testament, and the Old Testament here. It's a confirmation of the authority of the New Testament apostles and the word in the New Testament. It's the same authority as the prophet Isaiah's authority. One word of God. This is the word, God's word, which by the gospel was preached to you. And I'm just going to read the first three verses of chapter 2, and that's my text. Therefore, laying aside all malice, all deceit, hypocrisy, envy, and all evil speaking, as newborn babes, desire the pure milk of the word, that you may grow thereby, if indeed you have tasted that the Lord is gracious. Thus far we read God's word, one word, living and abiding forever. We need to grow. Newly organized congregation, tiny flock, we need to grow. We may need to grow in numbers. We probably need to grow in numbers. We definitely need to grow spiritually. We definitely need to do that because that's a sign of life when people grow, when believers grow. It's a sign that you're in the Lord when you're growing. Life is meant to grow. If things aren't growing, they're either stagnant or dying. So we know that we need to grow, maybe numerically, probably, definitely, spiritually. And so we shall preach. In fact, as the elders meet this week and in the coming weeks to to figure out how to lead the flock here, the newly installed elders. And it's a wonderful beginning we have indeed. You can be sure that the elders will not be trying to come up with some church growth strategy like unto Wall Street or any other business. You can be sure that that won't be what they're doing. And you can be sure that the focus will not be at all on numbers, 1, 2, or 100 by the year 2015 or something weird like that. No, it will be on how this church can be and grow and live and be prosperous in the growth that God would give to us living members of the body. You can be sure of that. Those are the elders that you have called and God has called. Concern for the life of the congregation. That's it. That's the foremost concern. And they will be considering God's word then, which tells us we ought to grow, and that this is a sign of life. And that's what word we're going to be considering this morning. And also there will be a parallel sermon this evening as we begin together. But look at the word here, which is an exhortation to lay aside certain things like malice and deceit and so on, and be as certain ones, newborn babes, desiring the pure milk of the word, for this purpose, that you may grow thereby. And so my theme for us, beloved, as we begin together, my concern is that we grow thereby, that is, as we take in the word of God. And so that's my theme, desiring the sincere milk of the word. Three M's, the meaning, the manner, and the motivation. What does it mean? The Apostle Paul, or Peter, tells his congregants, which are elect, we read in chapter 1, verse 2, or chapter 1, they're pilgrims of the dispersion in all of the areas of Asia Minor. Jewish converts, elect before the foundation of the world to sanctification of the Spirit. Believers, Peter's writing to them, and God is today. Well, what does he mean that we are to be as newborn babes and desire the sincere milk of the word? Well, the first thing we have to remember is this word. The Apostle Peter has been speaking of the word of God by which these converts were born again. Now look at chapter 1. Said verse 22, since you purified your souls in obeying the truth of the Spirit and sincere love of the brethren, love one another fervently with a pure heart, having been born again, not of corruptible seed, but incorruptible through the word of God, which lives and abides forever. And then the end of that verse, now this is the word which by the gospel was preached to you. Now when the Apostle Peter is referring to this word, in our text that we are to desire as newborn babes, that's the word he's referring to. The gospel truth. The truth as it is in Jesus, by which you began your life, now by which you're going to continue your life. The word of God. Didn't we hear recently that we are the church, the pillar and the ground of the truth? Same thing, beloved. We are to be pillar and ground of truth, and now as newborn babes to desire this truth. All of the truth, and the truth that is sufficient and adequate and lovely for life. That's the idea of this metaphor here. We are to be like or as newborn babes who at mother's breast desire just one thing, milk. And they know intuitively where that is, and they love that, and that's what they're satisfied with, and that's all they need. That's the figure of speech here. We are to desire like a newborn babe just this milk. And I want to say here, because maybe some of you are thinking of other texts, and that's always good when you're hearing the word of God. How does this compare to the rest of the scripture? But I want to say here, at this desiring of milk, the milk of the word like milk, the word that gives nourishment like milk at mother's breast, this desire is to be all the time. Now, some of you may say, but now, isn't there meat? Aren't we going to get meat here from this pulpit? Well, yes, we will. But the meat will be milk, because this milk here is not contrasted with meat. It's simply a figure of speech here to lead us into the kind of desires we are to have. And it's not emphasizing that there's milk and there's potatoes and there's meat. Just milk here. The word is like this life-giving milk. Now, again, I'm alluding in the potential conflict of your minds that you may be having to Hebrews chapter 5, where the apostle, or whoever wrote that book, God did, through somebody, is saying to the people there in Hebrews 5, I believe it is, that you are not to, you are to be those who have need of milk and not solid food, in verse 12, because you're unskilled in the word. Meat will come later, but milk is now for you, little babies. Well, that's what the apostle is emphasizing in Hebrews, this distinction between novitiates, newcomers, little babes, and those more seasoned. But not here. There's no indication in Peter that there's a distinction between the milk of the word and the meat of the word, and so that once in a while we do, or at one time in our life, we desire milk, and then later meat, potatoes, and whatever else you can digest as an adult. No, the focus is on the kind of desire. The kind of desire that so easily can go away from us as we grow and as the world tugs at us. Peter is calling the saints born again by the word never to give up the desire for the word. The desire for the word as you would love and desire life itself. That's what he's saying. He's alluding to the fact that we all know so well. We're born again, there's a first love, there's a first desire for truth. And by, in the difficulties of life, and as our faith is attacked and assaulted, we want other things. We're not satisfied just with the word, the whole word. We think it can't help us in our difficult times. And this and that has happened to us. And instead of the word and going to the light of the word, we just try to roll up our sleeves and get it done. Instead of resting and believing that God will get it done His way. How good a word for a new congregation. Excited and thrilled at all the confirmation of what God has done on Friday night and the ceremony there. Praise the Lord for that. Thrilled now as we're assembled together. First official worship service of Sovereign Grace United Reformed Church. There's a significance of this, people of God. It's a moment for reflection and for resolution and to hear what we are to do, who we are to be, people of the Word, really. For whom the word is not some abstract thing, the gospel is not some theory that you can preach by but not live by. As newborn babes, drink it in. That's what the apostle is saying. That's what God's saying here. And now, to us, newborn babes, you don't want anything else. You don't want anything else. This is your life. And it's sufficient for your life. The Apostle Paul, Peter, writing to these converts of the diaspora, the Jews who were dispersed after the captivity and so on, and they were all around the Mediterranean and beyond. They weren't in the land of Canaan. He writes to those folks who would be very much familiar with the history of the Israelites in the wilderness, when they were led by God and fed by God manna. And they wanted steak and quails instead. And they wanted what Egypt offered instead. And they left off really believing that God is the God who speaks to them in such a way that the speech gives life. They left off believing, yes, in Jesus. That was their problem. And they wanted to go back into Egypt. What a terrible thing, but that's our problem. That's our problem. Somehow we lose that innocency, for lack of a better word, of childhood, that singleness of heart and desire, that natural intuition of where the life is as we go through the nasty now and now and grow up and grow deformed. That's our problem. And we become used to sermons and used to foibles and used to earth and used to this. And loving even then the things of this earth more than the things of God. That's the problem that's being addressed here. This is the problem which I'm addressing here. The potential in all of our breasts and in all of our collective breasts not to desire the Word of God. Now, it's described here as pure milk of the Word, or word like pure milk, something like that. Now, the word pure milk here is the opposite of that word translated in the New King James, deceit, in verse 1. And deceit is impure, impure motives, intentions disguised as something else. And when the Bible says the word is like this milk that's pure, without deceit, I believe it's saying something like this. It's 100% homogenized from heaven, healthy milk. It's what you take and what you can trust. It's completely above board, above earth. It's from heaven. It's good for you. Take and drink your milk. And not just, beloved, to prevent spiritual rickets, though it could be said to do that. But for all of your life, this milk is something that you desire, you drink in, it's going to be for your good. And as you make this your one desire, whether you're a young boy or girl or middle-aged, you never leave this milk. You're going to see its healthful, beneficial effects. And that's the idea of this desire. Desire the Word and the milk of the Word and this healthy food from heaven. The gospel truth in Jesus Christ. So that it's a part of your life. You see, it's milk, and babies take in milk. So it's part of their life. It's everything. Their minds are developed by it. So are minds by the Word of God. Hands grow, feet grow. Everything grows. Everything's becoming healthy by the milk that the babe takes in, and that's all that babe needs. And this happens to us. And this is how we ought to be desiring this milk, on our knees praying, Lord, change my life through this milk. Truly have it affect me for good in every aspect of my life. Because remember here, we are newborn. We are the ones who are to be the newborn babes. This is not just for your craniums, your heads. You desire milk for all of you. And I am. And all the time again. Well, how, manner. The Bible tells us right here in verse 1 of our text, therefore, laying aside, or having laid aside, however you want to translate this, all malice, baseness, evil, all deceit, guile and trickery, and hypocrisy, two-facedness, say one thing, do another, envy, and all evil speaking. Having done that, now you'll have an appetite for the Word. Now you'll be able to take that Word in that you so confess is truth. That's the manner here. I want to suggest to you, though, that there's something prior to that. And, well, let me just explain briefly what this is saying here. I believe it's speaking of bad vibes, feelings, whatever, that we may have with one another. Apostle Paul, Peter, has been speaking in this whole section here of love of the brethren. Love of the brethren. And verse 22 and following. Seeing you have purified your souls and obeying the truth of the Spirit in sincere love of the brethren, love one another fervently with a pure heart. And don't believe that just because the chapters changed to chapter 2 that he's really left off that. He's speaking here of sins that would affect our relationship with one another, beloved. And of course they don't now, right? We love each other. We're all perfect in the other's eyes. If not, we esteem each other very highly. Well, yes, that's the wonderful thing about the freshness of a congregation that starts out. We don't know each other enough to know each other's faults, to press each other's buttons. We want to give each other the benefit of the doubt. What about next week, though? And I don't know. You know how it goes. But the apostle, you see, is speaking here something that's going to interfere with your devotion toward this word here. And that's your hypocrisy in your dealing with the brethren and envy. You're rather not liking the fact that your brother or sister is prospering. That's what envy is. That they have the money. That they have the looks. That they have the children. And so on. You envy them. And then you speak evil of them. And all of these things that we know too well, don't we? Our trickery, our two-facedness. We say we love God and we don't love the brethren. All right, that first of all. And just in general. But there's something prior to this. And I said before, as we were beginning this to read, remember the doxology. 1 Peter 1, 3. This is how Peter starts. Forgiven Peter. Blessed be the Lord, the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ. And on he goes until the therefore, in verse 13, the call to a certain response. Because of this great and wonderful praiseworthy God, therefore gird up the loins of your mind and so on. Therefore, verse 14, be obedient children, not conforming yourselves to the former lusts in your ignorance. Therefore, as God's children, be holy as he who has called you is holy. Therefore, be one who lives in the light of God, who is the judge. Therefore, be as those who live in light of God as the Redeemer. Because God is God and you're God, therefore also love one another. That's what he's saying. You see, it all starts in our relationship with God. That's the point. Why will we be here at Sovereign Grace Church? Full of those who are as babes desiring mother's milk. Why? What's the only reason that's brought us here, that keeps us here, that will have us growing here? The reason is God Almighty. That's it. God Almighty who's blessed us, chosen us before the foundation of the world, blessed us with all spiritual blessings in Christ Jesus, in heavenly places. God Almighty is our God and our guide now and forever. God Almighty who loves us and who loves our families and would save His own from our families. God Almighty who congregates the congregation, assembles the assemblies, and churches the churches. God Almighty who speaks peace to sinners. That's why we're here. And so the therefore of our text is because, first of all, of the God who's there and there for us and in us. That's all of our motivation for life. God. And this is so fundamental for us as we begin together and go on together because of God. Therefore, desire the sincere milk of the Word. And because of God, love one another. Love one another. I find it striking, don't you, that most of the time in the Bible, you correct me if I'm wrong, in the New Testament, Vicki, the call, much more than the call, say, to love God even, is the call to love the brother or the neighbor. Again, correct me if I'm wrong, but I guess what I'm trying to say here is that there's certainly an emphasis on loving the neighbor. James. You say you love God, you curse the brother with your tongue. The book of practical Christianity. Jesus says, here's the law and the prophets. The whole sum and substance of the revelation of God in the Old Testament. Love your neighbor as yourself. Jesus says when he comes back, Matthew 25, here's a sign that you were a true believer. If you visited people in prison, if you visited the sick, If you cared for the loveless, all this kind of stuff, clothe them. That's a sign. He doesn't say the sign is your right theology even. Though that's a good sign. Truth. Never depart from it. We desire the sincere milk of right theology, the Word of God. But here's the test of all that, you see. You say you love God? Love that. Love that unlovable one. And I call you this morning. And may the call echo every week and year, and I'm here. Love me. I don't mean lavish me with this and that. Just, well, more than put up with me, okay? I'll say that. Because not only I need that, but you do. And we need to come to grips with that, with each other. Whoever God gives in this congregation, whoever's here and there and everywhere, but also just here, love. Don't do the malice thing, the bad attitude thing. Don't connive for their fall. Don't say you love God and talk about their back, behind them, their back. Don't envy them in their new car. Love them. Where they're at, that's so important. We often love people when they get to this point where I can love them. They got their whole family in order, and you know now they're up to my level. No, love them as newborn babes. Then you'll be free to desire the pure milk of the Word of God. You'll be no hypocrite yourself. You say you're drinking in the truth. You'd not be spitting it out every time you backbite. See, that's the key here. You see, we want to have this relationship with this Word. We want this Word to be here and us to be drinking it in. We say that? Great. What about relationships with persons as well as principles? God the Father, God the Son, God the Holy Spirit, persons, divine persons, and then us little old persons. See, Christianity is about relationships. That's why in our family and in your families, we want them to cultivate relationships. That's what all of education is about. That's its goal. Relationships with God, with one another. Not just getting along, but being people, persons. If you say you love the persons of the Trinity. Yes, that's for life. That's what life is all about. In the praises of God. Finally, motivation. Growth. That's the first one. There's two I got. Growth. That you may grow thereby. Newborn babes desire the pure milk of the Word, loving God, love the neighbor, and grow. In order that you may grow thereby. This is church growth. Right here. Elders, deacons, everyone, this is what we're looking for here. Growing. Look, notice that. Newborn babe by newborn babe. Growing. That's what we're looking for here. Newborn 70-year-old babe and 6 months old babe. The old dogs who don't need to know the new tricks, but they still need to drink. That's what we're looking for. Are they growing? They're growing. And that, by the way, is such a great example to the flock. When even old folks grow, when even ministers grow, we haven't arrived. We're growing. We're being converted, changed. The Word of God is really impacting our life. And when something happens, we don't melt because of the something, but we meditate because of the someone. And we are so glad for God, even in hard things, because we see them as opportunities. And that's growth. And our temper is less. And the rough edges are a little smoother. And we're wiser. I wish we'd be wise parents right away. Why do we have to grow into that? Be that as it may. We all have to grow God's wisdom. So that's the first thing. But that's a lot more could be said. You see here, there's no that you may develop a growth strategy here. No. As newborn babes, desire the pure milk of the Word and go, and Zig Ziglar has a word for you. And you need to advertise better. And all, you know, there's a place for all this being wise in advertising in a way, you know, not on the Beltline, on the radio. That's being wise. But the priority is the soul. Here we are. We're not only a soul, we're a body. We have forms. We have bylaws and church orders and these things and creeds. That's the body. What about the soul? So you can have the body and the life is up. But when you have the soul, the body then is this tool. It's a servant. It's not a Lord. And beloved, here's what we want to see. Here's what we can expect as we grow thereby. As you take heed to this word, and as I take heed to this word, and as you desire the milk, father, mother, husband, wife, single person, young person, as you do this and have the word move you in your life, we're going to see this place filled with what? The Holy Spirit. And maybe a lot of vacant pews for a long time. I don't care. I'll say it. As long as we're filled with the Holy Spirit. And the light of the Word of God is the light of this place. And the light of your life. That's growth. And here's another and final motivation. I'll let you go. If indeed you've tasted that the Lord is gracious. Now, it's not like a question is raised here. Peter's not saying, I'm not sure. Sometimes we wonder in the congregation, is that person really tasted the grace of the Lord? Why are they so bitter? Why do they talk like that? Are they really getting it? Have they ever begun? We can wonder that sometimes. And it is the case. Maybe some in the congregation who haven't tasted and seen that the Lord is gracious. Here's something for you to think about. Have you tasted that the Lord is gracious? This exhortation will mean nothing to you. Milk will, from the Word of God will give me something else, will you? Will mean nothing if you haven't tasted first and developed by the Holy Spirit in you, second and third in all your life, this taste of the gracious Lord. But as I say, Peter, I believe, is not intending here to question, but he's simply meaning here to affirm what is true. If indeed it's the case, and it is the case, it's like the devil. When he spoke to Jesus and said, if thou be the Son of God, turn this bread into, or the stones into bread. He wasn't questioning Jesus was the Son of God, but he was challenging him. Oh yeah, you say you are? Now do it. Act like the Son of God. Act like God the Son. Make the stone bread. Jesus wouldn't do it because God is not like that. And God doesn't listen to devils. But be that as it may, there's an affirmation here. Now, if you've tasted that the Lord is gracious, here's what you'll do. You'll have a taste, a desire, a longing for the milk of the Word. That's the idea. Well, beloved, this leads us to the heart of everything. The taste of the grace of Jesus. The Lord here is Jesus Christ, the exalted Savior. That's what Peter means by Lord. The motivation, the supreme motivation for church growth, godliness, Being a faithful man of God and woman of God and child of God, the motivation is the grace of Jesus Christ that you've tasted. That's not just on the cross, but it's now to you and by the Holy Spirit given to you. And your mouth has been opened and your heart is renewed and there's faith within to join you to the things of heaven and the taste of heaven and heavenly delights. There's a reference here to Psalm 34. We preached on that a while back. The whole Psalm 34. You know the context when David was a madman and he went out of the land of Canaan to Gath and so on, and he pretended that he was a madman to get away. He wasn't believing in God. And then at that time in Psalm 34, he says, This poor man cried out, and the Lord heard him. And then he would tell us, I think, wasn't it, the E of praise, the experience of praise, tasting and seeing that the Lord is good. Here it is, Peter, reflecting upon the truth of a man forgiven, of a poor man enriched, of a hungry man fed, and tasting now the grace of God. And Peter did, you know. He denied his Lord three times. In the face of adversity and possible imprisonment, he was a coward. And how we can be that way. You see, this verse comes to sinners. This verse comes to you and to me who should taste and see the wrath of God. And yet he said, I love you and I grace you freely. And if you've tasted and seen, tasted here, that the Lord is gracious to you, then you're going to love His Word and drink Him in. Celebrate the supper this evening. You can hardly wait. I hope you like that. That's all about tasting and drinking in the Word of life and the life of the Word. May the Lord bless us, beloved. As newborn babes, here's our church growth strategy. Desire the pure milk of the Word. Take it in. Read it, hear it, think about it, live by it. And you may grow thereby. And God be praised. Amen. Our Heavenly Father, thanks for preaching to us, all of us, renewing our sense of how wonderful and good You are to us, and confirming us in our desire that we would be those who are part of the growing church, the living church, and who want to be here for others too. And for Your praise, Lord, in our unity and growth and life, is certainly a wonderful testimony of the God who's glorious. Lord, You've begun a good work. Oh, continue it, Lord, to the day of Jesus among us by causing us to grow. In Your blessed name we pray. Amen.